Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Carrington here, Rob here, taking you up until 6 o'clock when we hand things off to Arrowhead Pride Radio. So here's the rundown for what's going to happen in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, if you missed our conversation with Patrick Mahomes, we'll play that for you. Here coming up at 5:15, 5:30. Pete Sweeney will join us in studio and we'll continue to get you ready for the AFC Championship matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Metro Ford. Visit their inventory online at kcmetroford.com. So I am seeing the videos that are circulating across the interwebs. I'm sure that you have seen them by now as well. Patrick Mahomes at practice, certainly moving around a little bit better than he was in Saturday's game. He's walking off the podium, not wearing a boot. He was walking pretty good. I'm going to be more interested in how does it respond once you start playing football? I'm not saying that there's no reason to be optimistic about it. Like he looked pretty good, certainly a lot better than I think many of us thought he was going to look. Like, he did not look healthy, did not look well in the second half of the game against Jacksonville, and you could tell that he was really battling through it. But I think the real test for the ankle is going to be, man, what does it look like once somebody hits you in the ankle? Once you got to run full speed, once you have to change direction, once you have to do football things, what does that look like? What happens if it gets re-aggravated on Sunday's game against Cincinnati? Is that an injury that you're willing or able to fight through? So I think those are really the questions when it comes to Patrick Mahomes' ankle. So we've been asking people so far this week, you know, what are you most worried about? And earlier today I was thinking about the run in the championship game against Tennessee. I still think that's the best play that Patrick Mahomes has made. Maybe many of you felt the exact same way that I felt. At that moment, I felt pretty certain that the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl. They had struggled the first quarter against Tennessee. Second quarter, they do typical Chiefs things. Mahomes then makes that run. They take the lead going into half. And you kind of thought, well, if Tennessee was going to win this game, this was their chance to do it in the first 30 minutes. They have completely missed their window. This game is over, and the Chiefs take control of the second half. They win the game. They go on to win the Super Bowl. You guys know the story. But I think about that play, and I wonder if Mahomes is going to have the ability to be able to make that play. Because in my opinion, what makes Patrick Mahomes the best player in the league, what separates him from every other quarterback in the league, is I think he has the best arm strength, best arm talent, best creativity with his arm of any player in the league. I think what also makes him super dangerous is his ability to extend the pocket, his ability to use his athleticism for an extra 1 to 2 seconds in the pocket to buy him time downfield. on the third and five, third and six play that you not only have to account for the fact that he can make a big play with his arm, you also got to account for he can scramble and that third and five can turn into a first and 10. He ran for 13 yards. He ran out of bounds and you were about to get off the field. Now you're not. That to me is what makes him so dangerous, so difficult to defend. Is he going to have the ability to make those kind of plays on Sunday? And I just don't think we're going to have the answer to that question until Sunday when we get a chance to see him play. So we asked Nate Taylor, what's his biggest concern for Pat's ankle? Here's what he said.
Change of direction. Like getting through your normal drop back, you might be pretty okay with that because you've had obviously a week to really iron that out. But like the sudden burst, the change of direction, that's what worries me because obviously you don't want to – like football players don't normally roll their ankles like a basketball player would. But like obviously you are leaning a large amount of your weight on that ankle if you are changing directions. And so much of what Patrick does is sudden movements, flexibility, being able to extend plays. Obviously sometimes he jumps within the middle of the pocket to get the pass off, which is what he did Saturday, to get the touchdown to MVS in the fourth quarter. You're right, Carrington, on like when he's in drop back mode and like, hey, we need a 15-yard completion, he can do that. He actually kind of got in rhythm on that touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. If you go and you watch it, it's like, hey, he understands where he can move in the pocket. He understands that like, okay, if they're sending a blitz, my short journey is right here, and then I got to get the ball out.
Simply put, Patrick Mahomes does things that I don't think there's any other human being can do. The throw that he made against San Francisco in his first home start, I do not think there is another person walking the face of the earth that can make that throw. But it wasn't just the throw. If you remember, it's the drop back. It's almost losing his balance. It's keeping his balance and having the ability to make the big play down the field. Are those plays that he can still make? Patrick Mahomes at times appears to be a superhero. Is his ankle, and is he going to be physically limited in making those kind of plays? And I don't think you figure that out until maybe the second quarter of the game. I can see this being a lot like a boxing match where both sides are just feeling each other out. Jab, jab, jab. And then those middle rounds is when you start to see the action in the fight pick up. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm really testing how strong that ankle is. Like, I'm sending blitz. I'm trying to hit him. I'm playing football. Hey, I'm trying to make you move. I'm trying to move you off your spots. We're not just going to let you sit here in the pocket and throw the ball down the field. We're really testing how mobile you are with that ankle. I think that's going to be the first quarter of the game. And then I think we'll get a sense after about 15, 20 minutes of the game of Mahomes can do this, Mahomes can't do this. Hey, Mahomes isn't nearly as limited as we thought he could potentially be. Maybe he's more limited than we thought. I think the Chiefs are really going to show in their first 15 plays how they feel about Mahomes' injury. I think we'll see in those scripted first 15 plays, when the Chiefs are normally really, really efficient in those first 15 really scripted plays, I think we'll get an idea pretty quickly about what Mahomes feels like he can do and can't do, if there's a lot of limitations at all, and how this offense can potentially go over the course of the full 60 minutes. We asked Mitchell Shorts, who was on the team in 2019 when Mahomes had the high ankle sprain for his other leg. He doesn't think that the game plan is going to change that much.
I would imagine that things don't change too much. Again, because that Raiders game, like, we still put up a bunch of points. We still ran a pretty vertical offense. Like, I think if you were to conceptually think, what do you do with a quarterback who's a little bit injured and maybe can't move as well, you would say, all right, well, you limit his pocket mobility. So you don't move the pocket. You don't really run the play actions. You don't run as much kind of under center stretch game where he's got to, you know, run further to hand the ball off, go to a more quick passing game and try to get the ball out of his hands so he doesn't have to evade the rush. He doesn't have to sit there too long. And again, we didn't do any of that back then. We just kind of ran our offense and trusted that, you know, Pat was able enough to do it. And obviously he's tough enough that he's willing to do it. So I don't think the offense is going to change too much. I think the biggest thing is what Cincy does on defense. And if they try to force the issue, especially early, to see, you know, kind of what his limits are in terms of the mobility and how able he is to, one, evade the rush, escape the pocket, and two, kind of plant and be able to drive and force the ball down the field.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll replay our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. We'll do that here coming up at 5:15. One more audio clip that I want to play for you guys before we catch up with Patrick Mahomes. We had Dr. David Chow at Pro Football Doc on Twitter. We asked him what he expects Mahomes' mobility to be for this game. Here's what he said.
You did not miss any time in 2019 after the week one left high ankle. Had it stepped on and re-aggravated in week five and still did not miss any time, limped around. But on both occasions, he threw the ball pretty darn effectively, but then didn't run the ball the next couple of games. So his mobility score at Sports Injury Central, SICscore.com, we rate teams and individual players in terms of health. His mobility score is going to be sub 50 out of 100 because he just can't be that mobile, can't expect a lot of runs.
Based on what we've seen so far, and this was on Monday, so this is the first Chiefs practice that we've had, I think there's a good chance that his mobility is going to be a little bit better than that. I mean, just looking at him today, we didn't see him do any football stuff, just watched him walk around, watched him stretch, watched him get ready for practice. He seemed way more mobile than a 50 grade. He seemed pretty mobile to me. He certainly was walking and appeared better than he did in the second half. I mean, right when the injury happened, I thought for about three plays there that the Chiefs were being kind of negligent, and I would have called timeout. I thought it was that bad. Like, it was noticeable right after the injury that he was not healthy, and I thought the best thing that could have happened for the Chiefs in that situation was that the quarter ended. He had to come off the field, and they had a chance to talk to him about it. Hey, what's going on here? What are you feeling? And then we saw the sideline stuff, and I don't read too much into that. You want to stay in the game, I get all of that. But it was real bad in the first half, and it was noticeable in the second half. So from where we were on Saturday to where we are today is a tremendous turnaround. And there's obviously a lot more time, a lot more therapy, a lot more treatment that goes into trying to get him as healthy and mobile and as comfortable as he can feel in Sunday's game against Cincinnati. We'll play our conversation with Patrick here coming up in a couple of minutes. I just want to point out this one thing because we haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about it this week, and I get it. A lot of the conversation is about Mahomes' health, and it should be. It's the number one story right now in sports, in my opinion. I don't know if we fully really gave Travis Kelce his flowers for how he played on Saturday against Cincinnati or against Jacksonville. We looked this up. Over this five-year run that the Chiefs have had in the postseason where they've now been into five straight AFC championship games, Travis Kelce is averaging 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown every single time they play a playoff game. Think about that. 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown every single game. This is playing the best teams, the best coaches, the best defenses, teams that know that you're one of their top players, teams that are scouting, game planning, and scheming to try to take you out of the game and have no ability to do so. We're talking about you going up against top teams, and they don't have an answer for anything that you do. Their offense on Saturday was two people. It was Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco. And guys chipped in and did their thing, but nobody else on the team had more than 40 yards. It was two guys. Travis Kelce, who had 17 targets in the game, and Isaiah Pacheco, who ran for 95 yards. I understand that this conversation is about Patrick Mahomes and how healthy is he's going to be. The Chiefs have one of the greatest postseason players we have ever seen on their team in Travis Kelce. A guy that has shown, you will not stop me in these games. You know the saying, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. For every big Chiefs game that they have had over the last 5 years, Travis Kelce has made winning plays to help them be on the doorstep of going to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. And we're talking about doing something that only the 1% of the 1% of NFL teams have done over the over 100-year history of the National Football League. Rob, let's get to our conversation with the quarterback.
Super Bowl champion? Check. NFL MVP? Check. Friend of the drive? Absolutely.
Pump fake it. Now cut it inside the five. He's into the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City! Patrick Mahomes, so patient. So patient. He waited. He exploded.
The only place in the country where you're going to hear from the Chiefs QB every week is right here on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City! And Mahomes is on fire! Five consecutive touchdown drives.
Here's CDOT and Patrick Mahomes.
Our conversation with the quarterback starts with this question. What's happened more over the course of the day? Touchdown passes you had this season or times people have asked you about your ankle?
Definitely ankle. I mean, everybody wants to know, obviously, but it's just funny, man. It's just part of the business.
What's it like to have the most famous ankle in the world right now? You mentioned everybody wants to know what your status is going to be. Obviously, you're going to play. What's it like to have this level of interest for your health?
Yeah, it's just kind of part of it. You know, I just try to go about my business and get myself ready to go throughout the week and see where I'm at and then just keep getting better and better each and every day.
Take us through your treatment. What have you been going through the last couple of days? And as we get closer and closer to kickoff, what's to come?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have rehab stuff. You have different therapy things that the trainers have for you. Luckily for me, we have a lot of we have the best training staff probably in the NFL. So I just listen to what they tell me to do and try to get myself ready. And we had practice today, and I get to go out there and test it out a little bit.
So take us through the play that the injury happened. You get hit from behind by Arden Key, just and sort of what you were feeling in that moment.
Yeah, well, it was a play where we had called a kind of a shot downfield, and they did a good job of covering kind of my first, second, and really third option. And so you're kind of trying to reset in the pocket. Usually when you're on your fourth read and getting to those last reads, there's people around you. So I was able to get the ball out to Blake Bell, who was kind of my last resort. But how I got tackled, it just got unlucky, and the guy ended up falling on my ankle. And it's part of football. It's just part of playing the quarterback position and stuff like that happens. You try to just prepare yourself so you can bounce back quickly.
Have you seen the replay of the hit?
Yeah, I've seen the replay. I mean, it's hard not to when you have social media these days.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because I just think about it. I mean, this week the hit happens to you, the hit happens to Tony Pollard. Obviously, you're dealing with pain, and you got a lot of rehab and things to get back to healthy. I just think about how fortunate you are. I mean, Tony Pollard broke his fibula, needs surgery, he's going to be out for the next 3 months, and you have an opportunity to play in the AFC Championship game. Like, you dodged a bullet, so to speak.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, when you're on that football field, man, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I think we've seen that this year. And so you just try to prepare yourself the best way possible to be able to absorb those hits and absorb those injuries, man. And luckily for me, God was watching over me and protecting me because it could have been a lot worse. And I got lucky enough to where I'm going to be able to play the next week. So it was definitely something where he was watching over me and blessed me to be able to be in this position.
Take us through the sideline conversation, because obviously you're animated. You want to stay in the game. Everybody gets that. But a decision was made to take you out of the game and then you to go to the locker room. Take us through that conversation and then when you know that you had to go to the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it now, and I mean, it was a great decision on their part. I mean, I think it was, like you said, very similar to Tony Pollard's injury, and he had the fracture. That's what they were looking to make sure I didn't have. I obviously the competitor in me and the playoffs, you want to stay in there and play and not let your team down in a sense, but I was able to get back there, get the x-rays done, and then Chad Henne leads a great drive and scores a touchdown. It's just a special type of team that we have, and Chad's a special type of player that he's able to do that in that situation in that moment.
You've told the story about the Broncos game and how you wanted to go back in there and kind of you had to be kind of ramped down a little bit. What's it like to kind of – you want to go back out there, but this time you get the word that you can go back out there. What's kind of going through your mind when coach tells you that you can check into the game for the second half?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time I've ever been in that position where I've had to go back to the locker room and come back into the game. And so when you go back to the locker room, man, your nerves, I mean, you're scared because you have to get the x-rays. And, I mean, obviously I didn't think I had broken anything, but you never know. And so getting the x-rays and seeing that type of stuff there was definitely scary. But whenever they told me it was negative and I was good to go, I was excited. And, I mean, obviously you get back out there. And Chad's driving us down the field, and I was able to watch that and be excited with my teammates, and then in the second half, get back in the game.
You guys talk about next man up, and we talked about over the course of the season, you know, this guy goes down, this goes down. What is it like to see that this game was a true and complete 53-man effort from Harrison Butker to Chad Henne
to Travis Kelce, to Isaiah Pacheco. This was a total team win to win a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, it's special, man. I mean, we built up for this moment, and our guys have prepared all year long, and guys have come through in big spots for us in every single position. And so you see that we've built this. I mean, it's something that you can't just do overnight. It takes everybody believing in each other. And the great football team, that's what it takes. And so I was glad that our team was able to show that, and hopefully we can keep that thing going this week.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple of more minutes as we get ready for the AFC Championship game. Patrick, you're a big fan of sport. You've seen the Jordan flu game. We've seen Kobe Bryant push through things. In those moments, do those moments sort of give you the, hey, I want to push through this. I want to be out there for my guys.
I mean, I didn't think about those moments at the time. I mean, I was just more focused on trying to get back into the game, man. I mean, the competitor in me, and I think in a lot of these guys here, is you want to play, especially these big games and these playoff games, and you work so hard for it. And I think if you're not playing the right sport, if you don't want to be in those games. And so for me, I wasn't thinking about any moment like that. I was more thinking about just trying to find a way to get back in that football game.
There was a report that the next day you woke up and you felt a lot better than had expected, and the team was encouraged by it. Are you encouraged by your progress? Do you feel like you can be close to being able to do some of the things that you normally do on Sunday against the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, I feel good up until this point. I mean, I've done a lot of great things over these last few days with treatment and rehab and stuff like that. I haven't got the tested yet, so I'll get the tested here at practice these next few days, and hopefully that's all positive signs. And all I can do is get better every single day, and hopefully I'm close as I can be or 100%. I'll try to do whatever I can to get myself and my body ready to go, and then rely on my teammates to pick up where I might not be the same guy that I always am, and I trust those guys to do that.
I know you're in the middle of everything. You're getting ready for the game. You're dealing with rehab. Have you allowed yourself to think about that you guys are hosting the AFC Championship game for five consecutive years? I mean, the Patriots didn't do that in the NFC. The Cowboys of the 90s, the Niners didn't do it. Those great Steelers teams, that you guys are on a run that no other team in the history of the NFL has been on?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a great job of handling our business to get to this point, but now how can we take that next step? I mean, we've won the Super Bowl. We've been the one and lost it, but you've obviously, this will be our fifth AFC Championship game, and we want to make sure that we win more than we lose. So we have a great opponent this next week coming up with the Bengals that has kind of beat us these last few times here. So we know we'll take our best football if we want to go out there and win that game and try to get to the Super Bowl and see what we can do there.
It's funny because it's like a movie where, I mean, you and I both knew that you were going to either have to beat Buffalo or Cincinnati to go to the Super Bowl, and now we're here 60 minutes against a team that I think is you guys equal, you guys rival, you guys have had great games with so far. We just always knew that the AFC Championship game was going to come down to two of those three teams playing each other.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what happens when you have a lot of great teams in one conference, man. We got a lot of great teams and great quarterbacks. For me, I knew we were going to have to play either them or Buffalo at the end of the day. And we get to play the Bengals again, and they beat us. So we get another chance at it this weekend at Arrowhead. So I'm excited for it, man. And I know our guys are pumped and ready to go.
I'll get you out of here with this, Patrick. We appreciate your time. You mentioned being on social media. I'm sure by now you've seen the videos. There's a video of the Bengals players calling Arrowhead Burrowhead. What do you make of this trash talk going back and forth between the two teams?
Yeah, I mean, the trash talk is just kind of part of the game, man. I know our guys will be ready to go, and I'm glad that we get to play at Arrowhead and see what happens.
Do you guys believe in bulletin board material? Is this something that's potentially firing you guys up to play for this game? I know you don't need any motivation, but you guys typically respond in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not ready to go for this game, then I don't think anything's going to get you ready. I mean, it's not about bulletin board material. It's more about trying to get a chance to play for the Super Bowl. And that's everybody's dream. And I know our guys are ready to try to go achieve that dream.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as we prepare for the AFC Championship game. Patrick, I think I speak for everybody in Kansas City. We hope you get well, and we hope you are as close to 100% as you can be on Sunday against Cincinnati. Thanks for joining us today, my man.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
Always good to catch up with Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's step aside. We'll get back to the game coming up on the other side. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Metro Ford. You can visit their inventory online at kcmetroford.com. There are some major differences in the Chiefs in the upcoming AFC Championship game than the regular season game earlier in the year. We'll talk about that. And there's two players I want to see step up for the Chiefs offense on Sunday. I'll tell you who they are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Nate Taylor in studio every Friday starting at 4 o'clock. And if you miss any of the conversation, listen on demand with the Odyssey app and 610sports.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
As you know, these two teams played earlier this season. Cincinnati won that game 27-24. They outscored the Chiefs 10-0 in the fourth quarter of the game. There are some noticeable differences with the Chiefs heading into the AFC Championship game than the last time that these two teams played each other. Number one, they didn't have Kadarius Toney the last time that these two teams played one another. Kadarius Toney was their number one wide receiver on Saturday in the playoff game. Now, he didn't have a great day, but he had more receiving yards than Juju Smith-Schuster, more than Justin Watson, more than MVS. He was their number one wide receiver. He had the third most yards on the team behind Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco. He is a critical part to what they do offensively. So they didn't have him in the game. They also didn't have Mecole Hardman in the last matchup between these two teams. Now, Mecole Hardman practiced today. So we'll see if Mecole Hardman has the ability to play in this game. We'll see. So they didn't have Mecole Hardman. They didn't have Kadarius Toney in this matchup. Jalen Watson. And I think you could argue that Jalen Watson has made two of the biggest defensive plays that the Chiefs have had this season, if not the two biggest defensive plays. He had the interception in the game against the Los Angeles Chargers in the home opener, and he had the one-handed interception on the sideline to seal the win against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're talking about two critical players, offense and defense, that didn't play the first game. And we're not even counting Joe Tooney, arguably their best offensive lineman, who also didn't play. So we're talking about two for sure starters and Kadarius Toney and Joe Tooney that didn't play the first time that these two teams played each other. And Jalen Watson, who plays in 60% of the snaps. That is a noticeable difference in terms of their roster from the first matchup. Now, there's some changes with Cincinnati, too. Joe Mixon didn't play in the first matchup. But, Rob, if you want to look at this team from the Chiefs' perspective and what's different and what could be the difference in them winning and losing this matchup as opposed to when we saw these two teams play earlier, you add explosiveness in the offense with Kadarius Toney. You help shore up your offensive line with Joe Tooney, who didn't play in the last matchup, and your secondary is expected to be better, and you're going up against arguably the best wide receiver trio in the National Football League. The Chiefs have added three pretty important players in their roster since the last time that these two teams played each other late in the season.
Yeah, but like you said, Joe Mixon and Hayden Hurst, I know, started the game, or as Justin Reed calls him, T. Higgins, but he did not finish the game. So I think both teams are adding firepower back that you didn't see in the first matchup. I agree. The Chiefs are adding more back into the fold because Joe Tooney is their best offensive lineman. I don't think there's any if, and, or but about it. I think he is their best offensive lineman. What does Nate Taylor say with us every week on the drive? He says he's a robot. He's basically just a machine. He just goes out there and just a technician. Kadarius Toney to me is the most important add or re-add, whatever the term is, to this game because we saw in the Chiefs win against the Jags, they did one thing exceptional. And you mentioned the last segment. They got the ball to Travis Kelce. He was incredible. They didn't really get the ball to anyone else. I know MVS had a touchdown and what have you, but they weren't really throwing the ball to anyone not named Kelce. The Chiefs receivers this year, for as good as they've been, have been kind of iffy down the stretch. Haven't seen much of Juju going out and dominating anymore. Probably because of injury, but it's happened. MVS has never become that guy. If you're going to take the top off this defense, you're going to have that explosive playmaker, you're going to have that weapon, Tony has to be that guy. So of all the things back into the fold for the Chiefs, I would say the most important one is Kadarius Tony. But like I said, on the flip side, the most important for the Bengals is it looks like Hayden Hurst is definitely back, and the Chiefs had issues with him on their two drives.
I'm looking at two players who didn't have the greatest game against the Jaguars, but it didn't end up costing you. Juju Smith-Schuster had two catches for 29 yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had one catch for 6 yards. That's 3 for 35 yards and a touchdown. If the Chiefs are going to win this game, they need both of those guys to play better than they did in the last game. They need both of them to be far more involved in the offense than they were the last time. It was clear what the Chiefs wanted to do offensively, and especially the injury to Patrick Mahomes, how it changed their offense. They also ran the ball 30 times. And the Chiefs had 30 rushes in the game against Jacksonville. So the Chiefs were mostly committed to running the football in the first matchup. McKinnon got 11 carries. Pacheco got 12 carries. I don't know how much more you can expect this team to run the football. And Travis Kelce had 15 or 14 catches and 17 targets in the game. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm putting extra resources on Travis Kelce, and I'm really forcing Mahomes to throw the ball to the outside. Jacksonville just didn't take Travis Kelce away. If you're going to allow the Chiefs to just dink and dunk and catch Kelce over the middle of the field, you are not beating them. You have no chance of beating Kansas City with the defensive game plan that we saw from Jacksonville. None. Outs right now, as weird as it sounds very weird. You can count on Kelce every week, and you can count on Isaiah Pacheco every week. You don't know really consistently about anybody else. As good as Jerick McKinnon's been, Jerick McKinnon didn't really do a whole lot in this game. He had 25 yards rushing, so just wasn't effective on the ground, and didn't have a catch. I think Jerick McKinnon is the X factor in this game. Jerick McKinnon was far too valuable the second half of the season to now count him out after the one game, especially when we believe that part of the game plan is going to be to get the ball out of Mahomes' hand really quickly. And I think you're going to be forced to try to turn the aggressiveness for Cincinnati's defense against them and really beat them with screen plays. Like, I feel really good about Jerick McKinnon getting back on the board and scoring a touchdown or making one or two plays of real significance in this game. I think the Chiefs are going to need one more offensive contributor in this game. We know the firepower on Cincinnati. You're just not stopping all that they have. You're not stopping Joe Mixon, P. Ryan, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, and Hayden Hurst. They have 6 guys that we think could have a good day offensively. The Chiefs are going to need 3 or 4 of their guys to have a good day offensively. Kelsey's going to be Kelce. At this point, I think you have to count on Isaiah Pacheco having a good day. They ran the ball effectively the last time against Cincinnati. I think they'll be able to run it effectively again against them. You're going to need Jerick McKinnon to give you what he gave you the second half of the season. You're going to need Juju Smith-Schuster to have 65 yards. You're going to need a really big play from Kadarius Toney, MVS. You're going to need some combination of those 4 other offensive players. You probably need 1, if not 2 of them to have a good day in order to match firepower. You didn't need that against Jacksonville. Jacksonville doesn't have nearly the offensive firepower that Cincinnati does, and they scored 20 points in the game, really 17. They got a field goal late that had no consequence on the game. Cincinnati's going to be able to score. They're going to be able to move the ball here. They're going to be able to put up points. You're going to need your offense to be able to keep up. Outside of Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco, you're going to need offensive production from one of those four other guys.
You nailed it on the head at the end there. The Jags, I know they scored 20, but they scored 17 points against you with less offensive firepower than the Bengals have, and you got to 27 with less offensive firepower than the Bengals have, if we're being honest. The Chiefs won that game against the Jags because of turnovers. They got, what, two, three turnovers on the Jags? I don't know that you can go into the game banking on Joe Burrow giving you the ball two, three times the way Trevor Lawrence did. Trevor Lawrence's second ever playoff game, first road one. Joe Burrow's not going to be that guy. He's not going to hand you the football. So if you don't get better production from your weapons not named Kelce, you're in trouble because the Chiefs, I know with Mahomes banged up, it was basically Pacheco and Kelce, and if not, we figure it. We have no answer. And that's not going to be good enough for a team like the Bengals that has, what, one, two, three, four, five of the top 10 weapons in their positions in the NFL? You would say Tyler Boyd's probably the best number three receiver in the NFL. I know you think T. Higgins is the best number two receiver in the NFL.
I don't think he's the best number two.
You
I
think he's really the best receiver in the NFL.
I think he's a really good number two. I mean, the Eagles' number two is better than Cincinnati's number two. The one just is far better on Cincinnati's team. I like T. Higgins. I don't like T. Higgins nearly as much as you think I like T. Higgins. I think he's a very productive player. But that's why we mentioned the Jalen Watson and him coming back. I don't think any team has the corners to completely match up against Cincinnati. You give yourself a far better chance than you did the last time. You've got Trent McDuffie, Snead, and Jalen Watson. You give yourself as good of a chance of any of being able to match up. It's going to come down to can you get pressure on Joe Burrow? Do you have a couple of guys on the backside of that defense who are going to be able to make plays? Can you force Burrow to turn the ball over one, maybe two times? Who can protect the ball better? Who can protect their quarterback better? That's going to be who wins this football game on Sunday. Coming up on the other side, Eric Bieniemy is linked to a job, and I think this is the best chance that he's had to be a head coach in quite some time. We'll talk about that on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison. If you missed Patrick Mahomes on Monday at 2:15, you can listen on demand on the brand new Odyssey app or at 610sports.com. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
I'm going to ask you guys a question. I want you guys to be honest with me about it. I want you guys to be real with me about it. Have some of you guys seen the ticket prices for this AFC Championship game and then decided, you know what, man? I wouldn't mind watching this game in the house. Because I was looking at it. And, you know, I was on the Game Time app and I was just kind of, you know, moseying around and, you know, seeing the prices. I was kind of curious. And then I was on Facebook yesterday and I saw a friend of mine was selling, they had four really good seats for the game. They were selling for $1,500 apiece. Now, I don't know which one of you guys was spending $3,000 for a pair of Chiefs tickets. Like, I want to know what you do for a living because that's probably the profession I need to be in. I need to quit this job and start doing what you're doing because you're getting to the money in a way that I'm just not getting to. I'm just not getting to the money in that way.
I mean, they're Chiefs fans, so they rob banks, right?
Yeah, you guys are just getting to the money in a way that, you know what I mean? I'm not getting to. I can be honest with you. I'm not getting to the money like that. And then it got me thinking, man, you know what you could do with $6,000? Like, you don't know where you can go. I mean, Arrowhead is amazing. I've been there before. It's great. I ain't never been to Bora Bora. I'm assuming Bora Bora might be a little bit better. Just assuming. You don't know what you could do with that amount of money? Because I know the face wasn't $1,500. I know that. It was a come up. And I'm not mad at you, man. It's a supply and demand. This is the big football game. This is for the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying it's cheap to go to this game, but I'd say it's manageable. It ain't manageable to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, we've all seen the tickets prices on that, and, you know, that prices most people out of it. But right now, if you want to go to this game, you can get yourself a ticket for about $250, $300. That I understand is expensive. I know times are hard, but you could manage the $600 for a pair of tickets. Super Bowl get-in's what, Rob? $4,000, $5,000 for a ticket? That doesn't seem nearly as manageable. You're buying a used car to go watch a football game. That's just counting getting into the game. It's not counting all the other things. You got to get to the stadium. You want to stay somewhere. You got to buy food. It's expensive to go to the Super Bowl. You don't got to do nearly as much to go to the AFC Championship game. So I get it. This is the fifth chance you've had to go to one, you know. Somebody offered me good money for those seats. You know what I might do? I might hand them to somebody. You gonna give me how much? I spent $125 on these. You're gonna give me $300 a piece for these? You know what, man? You know, the house ain't that bad. I get it. I get some of you have done that. I mean, I don't have any tickets. I'm not going to the game. Rob might go. You know, Rob's in a different tax bracket than me, you know? Rob might have sideline field passes. Rob's just moving a little different than I'm moving. I'll be watching the game at the house. You guys know how I am about cold weather games. You know that. I'm not standing outside to be cold to watch anybody do anything. Michael Jackson could be doing the halftime show. I'd be at the house. That's what I'd be doing. I'd be at the house for that. I've seen it on somebody's Instagram. Somebody will have a Snapchat of Mike. I want to see Mike. I don't want to freeze to see Mike. Before we get out of here and we hand things off to Arrowhead Pride, there was a story on Pro Football Talk, and the story was about Eric Bieniemy, that Eric Bieniemy has a chance to be the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. The article reads as follows. Some think it will come down to Jeff Saturday and Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. Ultimately, it is Colts owner Jim Irsay's decision. If Eric Bieniemy loses a job to 1-7, one of the biggest collapses in NFL history, Jeff Saturday, then he will never, ever become a head coach as the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. And maybe Eric Bieniemy has given up on that dream. Maybe Eric Bieniemy woke up one day and said, you know what, man? I'm happy. I'm content exactly where I am. I want to be the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs for as long as they want me to be the offensive coordinator. Maybe he said that. I don't know. But you know the Colts and the Chiefs organization have a connection with each other. Chris Ballard is the general manager. He was here in Kansas City. You know there's a relationship there. If anybody knows, hey, why hasn't Bieniemy been hired? If anybody can ask that question to Andy Reid and get the straight answer, it's Chris Ballard. This Colts job is perfect for Eric Bieniemy. Of all the jobs that have come available, I think the Broncos job made a lot of sense. I thought Cincinnati's job made a lot of sense before they hired Zach Taylor. Houston has made some sense. This might be the last one that makes a lot of sense for Eric Bieniemy. If he doesn't get this one, and you still want to be a head coach, I don't think you can do it being the Chiefs offensive coordinator anymore. But again, maybe he's just moving on. He doesn't want to be a head coach anymore. He's happy being the offensive coordinator. I mean, it's working. I mean, you're having a lot of success. You're making good money. I get wanting to stay in Kansas City. But if that's your goal, if that's your dream, you are just going about it the wrong way. And the Ravens are interested in having you be their offensive coordinator. Tennessee is interested in you becoming their offensive coordinator. Maybe it's in your best interest to take one of those jobs to get yourself back with a little bit of buzz. There's no buzz right now about Bieniemy as a head coach. He's not even the it minority candidate anymore. That's D'Amico Ryans, defensive coordinator for the Niners. He's not even that anymore. One thing that can change the NFL's opinion would see you doing it and building another offense. You picking a quarterback like in Tennessee or in Indianapolis and having success there. We've got a fun show planned tomorrow. Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver for your Kansas City Chiefs, will be on the show. Hopefully you're here tomorrow as well. Take care of yourself. It's the draft.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.